Today on Compassion Radio.
There's this kind of state protection for children, for students. They get us some kind of scholarship. They can live in a dorm. They can stay away from these toxic families. And they can find their place in life. And they
can
develop.
That's breaking the cycle, they're breaking out
and
of the cycle.
Exactly that moment. And it's that moment that Richard mentioned. Because when we don't do that, well, we create new homeless people. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult to tell what will happen in 5, 10, or 15 years.
Right.
They'll try their luck, but without any healthy basis.
They're just floundering.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, hello, and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when God takes you across the world to minister to the lost, and you see Him changing their lives, it can be very discouraging to watch some of them fall back into the life they were leading before you came. Today's guest tells us that the Lord showed them how to make sure that doesn't happen nearly as often by providing them with some effective ministry principles. Bram.
Well, Frank, I've heard some ministers over the years say, only half teasingly, of course, that ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. It can be frustrating to serve and see no return for that investment. Thank God He didn't call us to fix everything in the world in order to experience fulfillment in this life. God does, however, instruct us, quite directly I might add, that since He now lives in us, we are to literally be His hands and feet to anyone who needs a touch from Him. A faith that is unwilling to do that is truly dead, the Apostle James would say. Folks, ministry is not a numbers game, but it is also unflinchingly honest about how big the numbers are when it comes to need and opportunity. Real faith knows that if it depended on us alone, the world would remain truly lost. It also knows that God isn't asking us for solutions. He's calling us to obedience. If you want your cup filled, pour it out when God says to.
Here's Bram with the final part of his conversation with the Foundation Bread of Life ministry team.
Tell me about what is happening with the revival in Poland right now. How is this playing into what God's doing to revitalize the spiritual root of that country?
You know, it's amazing. Like from one side, just being there for people and loving them, where sometimes people have never seen or experienced love before. And then they go back to their family and they love in such a way. And the family sees the love of Christ. You know, when we bought this property, this New Life Center, we bought it in a village. And at the beginning, when we went there, I said, I need to meet with the village chief and the elders and just tell them what we're doing. And said, hey, that's really good. You know, what you guys are doing. But the fact, you know, that you're not, you know, Roman, Polish, Catholic, we don't want you here. And so he said, okay, this will be fun. But we still continue to love and to share with people the hope of Christ. And Brooke, she would put together Christmas packages, like those shoebox packages for like the poorest of the kids in the community, you know, getting school books, textbooks, and stuff like that. And so we really impacted this community. And after a couple of years, because even people say, like, oh, don't associate with those people over there. We're like, really? Come on. From Arizona.
That's pretty scary.
Right? So, you know, this community realized what we were doing and loving them in such a way, like in God's love, that they then went to the county and said, tell us who the poorest villages in our county. We want to adopt them. Hmm. You know, for Christmas. And so they're imitating these acts, just like Tomek was imitating, Charles was imitating. Mm-hmm. Now the village is imitating. So one thing that I get excited about, and hopefully we'll see, you know, instead of just one-on-one, maybe it's a village on a village. Mm-hmm. And people coming to know Christ. And also, too, it's interesting, too, is to see Poland change. You know, now it's becoming more Western, in a sense. And, you know, working with the international community and also Polish people, a lot of students, you know, some of them are now saying, oh, I'm atheist. But they're not really atheist. They're more done with tradition, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to them and ask them, like, you know, do you think you'll ever go to heaven? They're like, no, probably not. And I'm like, why not? It's like, man, there's too much stuff I have to do. Mm. And so I'll have them read, like, John 3:16. Yeah. And they read it, and then they pause. And they look at me. They look back at the Bible. And I was like, well, how do you get to heaven? And he's like, belief? Is it really that simple?
Yeah.
I was like, well, what does the Bible say? I said, I think it is. You know, it's by your faith. So I think, you know, people are open to the gospel in that way. So we'll see.
And of course, your example, you talk about the emulating going on here. This is a simple thing. Believe in the one who saves you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you don't stay that way. You get transformed in that moment or that process, and something happens to you. You end up going to a foreign country and becoming a missionary who's handing out cups of tea on a train station.
Yeah, yeah.
You go next door and offer some borscht to somebody in the middle of winter who needs it, or you, whatever. God starts changing yeah. you to do his work with mm-hmm. others. And obviously, just from the stories I'm hearing today, your church is alive. The people are spiritually alive and are sharing that life with many others. And they seem to be intimately tied in with this work of Bread of Life Foundation. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that there's an outward focus mm-hmm. and an inward commitment and a vibrant community. All those things at once.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very encouraging to me to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Bread of Life, it's funny because, you know, many people come over to do church planting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And my wife and I, at the beginning, they're like, you know what? We're not church planters. Because I never, ever wanted to be a pastor. Because it didn't matter, you know, the homeless people that we would rescue if they went to this denomination or that denomination. We just wanted them in a good Christian church.
Yeah.
So we were pushing them into all the churches. And I didn't know that God would have me start to pastor church either. And then, like, with the international church, you know, I mentioned they would come, and then a period of time they would leave. Yeah. So we've seen over 165 people leave our church to over 35 different countries throughout the world. And a lot of them go back to China, start passing out cups of tea, or to Ivory Coast. And we have a big medical school and some medical students there. They go back to Taiwan, and now they're leading mission teams throughout Asia, to Burma and other places like that. So it's really almost like a training ground.
I was going to say, you're training to send.
People yeah. that are transformed can't not transform
yeah.
people and places.
Yeah.
They become a transformational, effective work of themselves. I mean, God is living the kingdom out one cell at a time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And so it sounds like you are very much in the mind of, let's be the kingdom wherever God takes us.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell the church all the time, whether like you're a Fulbright, you know, professor exchange or whoever, businessman or student, you know, I said, look, you know, God's brought you here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought it was for your work, but yeah. it's a bigger purpose than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a Christian, you know, God's calls you to something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I encourage them, I said, you know, God's called you to like to fly. Mm-hmm. And I, like, you know, I always encourage them, like a butterfly is beautiful. But if a butterfly doesn't fly, it's simply butter. A Christian who doesn't, you know, just engage in life,
smeared.
You're just butter, right? But you got to have that fly on there, you know, to really be something beautiful in the life of people. And it's simple things. Mm-hmm. Cup of tea. Damn. Tell somebody, I do it because I love you. New Life Center.
The New Life Center.
Yeah.
Let's pick it up from here then. You've got this whole New Life Center for Men built. You've got a lot of things going all at the same time. You have a vibrant church. You're mm-hmm. sending people around the world. You're like shooting like arrows out of a quiver. So suddenly this little ministry in Poznan has become a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, I know I speak a little bit of hyperbole, but it's true. You are sending out missionaries who don't even realize that they're missionaries yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're excited about the work God's been doing in them. And they're very excited that God brought them to be with you in Poland for a time, and now these internationals are everywhere. So tell me some more about the stories of those who went away from you and of those who stayed with you to work on this New Life project.
Yeah, so this New Life Center, over the last 10 years, we've helped rescue about 800 men through the facility.
800 men in that one town?
No, well, the men will come from all over Poland.
Oh, okay.
Because people knew about the New Life Center throughout the entire country.
Which so, tells me there's not many centers for men who are in transition or trying to get off the streets then.
Yeah, you know, back then there was a few, not very many. Now there's more, which is nice, especially in the wintertime when it's so cold.
So from around the entire country of Poland, people are coming to you, 800 men so far. What did you do with them?
Yeah, so we worked, we took them from the very basic and worked for their health, you know, because sometimes you've been homeless for 20 years, you know, you're not healthy at all.
Yeah.
You don't have documentation, don't have any ID. You don't even exist. So just rebuilding the man in society in that way, but also rebuilding them like, look, God created you in his image. So there's something very unique about you mm-hmm. to begin with. Then we worked through, you know, a lot of the homeless came from really difficult situations as well. And it was about 60% of homeless people came from orphanages. Mm-hmm. So then we're able to rebuild the man and work on therapy, go back to childhood and go back to the teenage years and really begin to help them get back in society. You know, and then even when they get ready to graduate, we'd help them find jobs. And we'd also protect them, that they would sign legal contracts, yeah. You know, to take care of them and help them find a place. Yeah, because sometimes we would come back and it's like, no, that's not legal. Yeah. You can't take that job. So we'd call the company and be like, hey, you know, how about you change that contract?
So it's an important thing you said here, rebuilding a man.
Yes.
That God's called you to build on the foundation that God gave him. They're grown men at this point, but they have no identity.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't have an identity in something like Christ yet. So you're ministering to them where they are with the base needs, not just cleaning them up, but healing their diseases.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping them to find themselves and find their identity in Christ and find a way out of the place they never thought they would ever get out of.
Yeah.
That's powerful work.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I'm going to steal a quote from Billy Graham. I don't know if he said it or not, but someone did. It says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Mm. Yeah. And so to help these men rebuild their lives, it's tough work.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
On mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And so what we've seen, like, over the years, you know, of trying to rescue these men, you know, we see it, a lot of their lives go back to their 20s, their teens, and earlier. So how do we step back and start to prevent that from ever getting to the point of them on the streets? And so this is where we're taking the center now in a new direction and trying to prevent that and going back a generation to help these kids.
I can give you an example. My wife has been involved in orphanage ministry within the context of Bread of Life. She's been leading groups of volunteers to orphanages with a specific purpose of giving children this hope, but also this determination to do final exam for high school to qualify for continuous studies. Because when children in orphanages don't qualify for any further education, they are obliged to go back to the place where they came from. And in general, they are, well, dysfunctional families, or they're non-existent families even. They go back to, you name it. In most of the cases, research shows over 80% of those cases, these children who are coming from orphanages, who are, let's say, graduates of orphanages, they fall back in the same misery as their parents or their families or their dysfunctional neighborhood environment where they came from. So the way how to change this is give them a clear hope and give them this self-confidence, give them the hope in Jesus Christ that there's more than just this whatever existence. And my wife was able to encourage girls to do this final exam, to go through high school and qualify for continuous studies. And then there's this kind of state protection for children, for students. They get us some kind of scholarship. They can live in a dorm. They can stay away from these toxic families. And they can find their place in life. And they
can develop. That's just breaking the cycle, but breaking out of the cycle.
Exactly that moment. And it's that moment that Richard mentioned. Because when we don't do that, well, we create new homeless people. It's not difficult to tell what will happen in 5, 10, or 15 years. They'll try their luck, but without any healthy basis.
They're just floundering.
Exactly.
Like we see that same problem happening in Ukraine when the orphans are turned loose from the orphanages at age 16 or something. They're not quite adults yet. They have those gap years. If there's nothing there for them, they are instantly into human trafficking and or living on the streets or both or drugs. So the dangers are very, very real.
So we try to focus within the possibilities we have with our new life center on more short-term projects for prevention, education, building self-confidence, making camps, making therapy for this vulnerable group of people who need this additional encouragement.
Once identity is defined, then community has to exist or the person will decay quickly. So you're helping them find community with you, but also becoming the kind of people that can build their own community along the way and find their tribe, so to speak, as they go.
And even find their tribe, but also lead their tribe. You know, we see guys, like one guy, he just finished, he published his second book. And I'm like, wow. You know, my wife's always encouraged me, like, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. You know, and here are the guys that were helping are already writing books. And I was like, I need to catch up. So it's just really amazing to see, you know, what God's doing in the lives of people.
So tell me some more stories about individuals that you know exemplify the best of the best of these stories. Because you could tell hundreds of them. We don't have time for all those. We need the cream of the crop here. What are some of the people that you think back to as indicative of the kind of work that only God could do?
Well, as far as I know, I'm not allowed to mention names. But there's a guy who was in serious, serious trouble, went through the program of the New Life Center, didn't qualify to the end, fell back, experienced within a few weeks the same misery, and he was brought back to the New Life Center, had to be detoxicated, had to go through a very intensive program, and finally he was able to finish. And we were observing him at a moment. He is somebody who is able to really face his past, is able to get out of debt, is able to unite again with his family, is able to find his way in society professionally. He found a job after finishing the program in Unui Life Center. Already two times made promotion within the company he's working for. Now he's responsible for 40 people and is a living example of somebody who, of course, he found Jesus on the way. Because, well, that's crucial. That is what we tell them.
Yeah.
Because he perfectly knew why this is possible and how this is possible. And seeing these people that otherwise would be in deepest misery, we see them being an example for lots of other people. Because very quickly, they even pass the others who are passive, who still don't have this confidence. They know what they're living for, and they want to be an example for others. And we see it with this man. It's incredible.
Those who know how much they've been saved from are the ones that work hardest to save others and make something of what gift they've been given. Now, that begs a question for me. What is a success story? Because what you just told me was two failures. The system did not succeed in getting him to proceed with a career, so he fell back. Dropped out. Yeah. Now you've lost him. And now he falls to the bottom of the barrel again. He's a double failure. Now he's back with you. But then God did something.
Yes.
And you're telling me that the story you're telling me right now, Rainier, is that this is a success story.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you something? True believers, when they are, the moment they're born again, you perfectly know what happens with them. It's this moment that they realize that they really, really need Christ. That they really actually, well, they're just lost.
Right.
Well, that's the basic of the gospel. So for those men we are serving, it's exactly the same story. As long as they don't understand and they don't realize and that they are completely lost within their position, within society, that they don't know how to manage, well, as long as they're not at this stage, well, it's difficult to treat them. When they get there, then they find their way.
They have to realize how lost they are.
Exactly. It's exactly the same with us. So we can identify with them.
Exactly.
We were talking with a gentleman yesterday whose story will be coming up on a future broadcast for Compassion Radio. He taught us an important lesson because he had been to the bottom that way. He found Jesus in prison after being convicted of major crimes. And the word came to him that he wasn't just saved because he had the experience, because he actually met Jesus and understood that God loved him. He was told prophetically that God spared your life. So his work was to literally allow you to exist and not take out the punishment you deserved. And now he's been saved from his sins, but he also was spared from the doom that he was deserving.
Yeah.
And he understood that both those things were essential.
Yeah.
I had to know that my life had been spared by God and that he had saved me to something else.
Yes.
And that both those things were... They work together, but they weren't the same.
Yeah,
you know, God's mercy keeps us from destruction, but his salvation brings us to new life. And he understood that better than most theologians I know, because he'd experienced it.
Yeah. Very often, it's only when we step out that we give God the opportunity to really do something, to show his power, to show these wonderful experiences. And of course, it's a challenge. Of course, it's frightening because, well, it's our comfort zone. But when we step out, then suddenly we see things that we could never imagine.
Amen.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio, first, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.